got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, this is the best movie for music and the worst movie for actual plot, acting, dialogue, scripting, direction. Spy Game, great soundtrack, horrific movie. And also a great trailer, by the way. And doesn't that piss you off? When you see a trailer and you're like, damn, this will be the greatest movie in an outpost on the edge of space. And then you go to see the movie and it's just crap. And it's so disappointing because you're like, I want to see the movie that was in the trailer. That was me going to see Spy Game. Because it had all those great shows. There is one of the all-time great, just amazing John Woo-esque shots in Spy Game, though. And it's where Brad Pitt and Robert Redford. Has anybody seen Spy Game? Just me.
I actually own it.
Really?
Yeah, on DVD? Yeah, on DVD.
Do you like it?
I actually like it.
I like all the flashback sequences with Redford and Pitt. I mean,
yeah.
I really do. The modern-day plot about China, though, just irritates me because I just want to see the training.
Right.
Like, I want to see a whole movie that's just the training of Brad Pitt by Robert Redford. I don't care about Robert Redford having to rescue Brad Pitt. It doesn't matter.
I'm not, like, pleading ignorant on this necessarily, but, like, action movies are all kind of the same to me anyway.
Well, no, that's a fair statement.
So it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's just like any other old action movie. So, it's somewhat enjoyable. You know what I mean?
And the old sequences have got that great washed-out look like Mel Gibson's Payback had. But there's this great sequence where Robert Redford and Brad Pitt are sitting at that table on the top of a building. And there's the steam coming out, and it's just so good.
That
I mean, it's like, it's Wachowski
shot.
Brothers good. I mean, it's just a beautiful shot. But I remember the trailer was so great. I went to see the movie, and I'm just, you know, you're like tapping your watch, like waiting for the good movie to show up. I wasn't with that. Speaking of movies, though, let me just tell you a random thought that occurred to me. Here's like a little simulation of what it's like inside my head sometimes. So we were just talking about them. We were just talking about the Rick Emerson Instapoll, for which we see, because I do this hyperlinking thought process. Now, you all have heard the Rick Emerson Instapoll jingle. And if you haven't heard it, it goes something like this.
Rick Emerson's Instapoll.
And we had this, Mike Chase was good enough to produce it. The Rick Emerson jingle singers, that's Kristen, Christina, and Amy Faust from Mike and Amy in the Morning, were good enough to sing it. I actually had a chance to use it yet. So Christina's like, well, you got to use the Instapoll thing. And I said, no, I'll do it today, come hell or high water. And then that led me to think about it. Come hell or high water is just such a great phrase. And nobody really uses it. Like, there should be a movie called Come Hell or High Water. And then what I started thinking is, because those of you who are comic book enthusiasts to some degree may know that there is a comic book character whose name is Harley Quinn, which is one of the all-time great names. Harley Quinn is just the cool, which I think is what Kevin Smith actually named his daughter. I think her name is Harley Quinn Smith, which is just badass any way you slice it. Being named Harley Quinn is the coolest thing that could ever happen
and
to any chick.
And being a girl.
And being a, well, clearly, I mean, being a girl. And so, because I know we've got people who are, you know, we've got comic folk who listen to the show. Here's something. I'm giving you this idea free of charge. I mean, maybe if you want to throw me a little royalty on it. I'm saying there ought to be a villain named Helen Highwater. That's how my brain works. It goes from A to Q to Z to 5 to green to red to whatever. Helen Highwater. Come on, that's great. You got to admit that that's a great name for
that
a comic book villain.
That's good.
All right. 1-800-737-5955. Chris, in just a moment. Rick, you are so right about Legos. I'm 30. When I was growing up, they were my favorite toy. Moon Legos are cool, but my favorite were the expert builder kits, nowadays called Technique Legos. All those prefabricated pieces, they're crap. It's too easy. Great observation. And by the way, please tell Christina to go to Costco at least one more time. That's from Andreas, who is a Costco employee.
I actually was at Costco on Saturday, and I looked for him.
Really?
I really did.
It's kind of a sickness.
It is kind of a sickness, but he's my... Because I don't really run into many people, like, out in Beaverton or whatever.
Yeah, because there's no people in Beaverton.
I don't know.
Beaverton's completely bereft of
no
people.
No listeners, you know what I'm saying?
What's the Lego thing that I missed?
We were talking about Legos yesterday, about how kids used to have to build things with Legos, but now you buy Legos, and it's like a pre-created ship that you just pop out of the box. It's already done. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, Chris. That really is a bunch of crap.
Chris, a full-time listener in the Southeast. What's up?
Oh, yeah, you said there's just a bunch of crap on tonight.
Yeah.
Well, on Cinemax at 7 o'clock is a documentary called Uncle Saddam.
Uncle Said Tom.
Ghost Over's documentary about Saddam Hussein, which was filmed in secret, includes interviews with Iraqi president associates and citizens, and also footage of his 21 palaces.
Okay, now what is it? What channel is this on?
It's on Cinemax.
Excellent. Cinemax, what time?
7 o'clock.
Sweet. All right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
This news brought to you by Cal Spas. Planning to stay home for the holidays? Make your home a resort with Cal Spas. Why don't you go to Cal Spas today for your billiard table, spa, or sauna? Make no payment for 12 months. Cal Spas in Beaverton and Gladstone. Lots of breaking stuff. First of all, off the coast of Florida, five Cubans in a rickety boat are coming ashore. One's a 13-year-old boy, a future Elian Gonzalez for Jeb Bush to deal with.
Is this another kid who was packed over here by his hideous parents?
Uh-huh. Apparently yeah, so. So right. We'll hear more on that as the day goes on. Then, off Drudge, a woman pregnant with a cloned embryo is due to give birth in January. This is from Italy, so we'll be hearing more on that. So that's going on. Then, today's protest of the day here, about 300 have marched to Portland City Hall to ask for the millionth time for the resignation of Police Chief Mark Croker. The answer is no. They're angry that he awarded medals to two police officers who killed that mentally ill Mexican immigrant.
I mean, I'd like to go swing me a pipe at some hippies and see what they do.
Yeah.
And see, you know, see if your ass just lets me hit you in the head. Stupid waste of space.
I'm telling you.
Jesus.
Well, no more drinking at the Telechemical Depot. 200 National Guardsmen stationed there will no longer be allowed to leave the base after dark or drink alcohol after a soldier is charged with driving his truck into people and other cars outside a Hermiston bar. They were sent to Umatilla in August to help protect us from terrorists, and they're doing nothing out there but, well, making nuisance of themselves with the townspeople. And now the new rule is the soldiers cannot consume alcohol off the depot. They're not allowed to leave after dark. They must sit and live in boredom. Let's see, what else do we have here? A man fell 18 feet into an open manhole in San Francisco this morning. Has been rescued, fire spokesman says. Paramedics went down to the hole and helped prepare the man to be brought to the surface. He was lifted out of the hole to a round of applause. Adam Sandler provides three voices for his animated film, Eight Crazy Nights. Do we really need an Adam Sandler cartoon? I mean,
come really. On. Where's your love?
Adam talks about why he's so buff in the film.
I washed myself over the years in the movies.
He washed himself over the years?
Older and uglier. And so animation gave us the right to use the youthful Sandler, the body I had when I was a 19-year-old and I was a stallion.
Adam Sandler's got the worst haircut, by the way. Adam, I mean, he's, you know, he's a funny guy, I suppose, but he's never had a good haircut. His hair has always been bad. Let me talk about the buffing up of fictional characters, though.
Sure.
Because I was thinking about this not too long ago, as is my wont. Have you noticed this? Have you ever noticed that that action figures have become more buff? Like, seriously, look at the Darth Vader that came up from Kenner in, like, 77, like the old-school Darth Vader. And then look at the Darth Vader now, and it's like Darth Vader now is all, like, roided out. He's just, Darth Vader now has got the huge thighs, like, crush a walnut with his gluteal muscles, and he's got the huge arms. Even, like, which doesn't make any sense because he's inside, like, a metal suit where presumably his muscles wouldn't be allowed to, like, you couldn't see them. There'd be no definition to his muscles because he's inside, like, an exoskeleton. You know what I mean? He's inside a metal life support system which keeps him viable. So clearly, even if Darth Vader was all ripped, you wouldn't be able to see it, much less the definition of his, like, you know, trapezoids or whatever the hell those are. You know what I'm talking about? So, anyway, so action figures have just inexplicably become more buffed out over the years. It's true, for no readily apparent reason.
Well, getting back to this Adam Sandler movie, Eight Crazy Nights, what's this waste of celluloid about anyway? It's a story of Davey, a bitter young man who hates the holidays. Adam Sandler was asked if he's a bitter young man who hates the holidays.
Basically, it's about a man who turns his back on Hanukkah because something pretty horrible happened to him when he was a child. And an older fella that knew him when he was a kid is trying to help him see the light again.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Was that the end of that?
Yeah, that was the end of that soundbite.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a little more news on this clone baby here. This is the controversial Italian fertility doctor, Servino Antonori, said a woman pregnant with a clown, a clone embryo. I'm thinking clown. It's due to give birth in January.
Now, that'd be infinitely more entertaining.
It would be.
You know, she comes out with the biggest shoes, big red nose. That'd be the greatest baby in the history of the world. I'm pregnant with a clown.
He says it's going well. There are no problems. He said he made a scientific and cultural contribution to the project, but was not personally in charge. So there. That's happened in Rome.
Clone.
Anyway, no. Oh, and one more thing.
What the hell
did
I'm
you just
doing?
Sing Send in the Clone?
I did indeed.
Okay.
And for Christina, they're looking for skilled tap dancers. These are called the Skylight Tappers.
Ooh.
No, but wait, I bet that's in a real city. I bet that's not in Bend.
Oh, wait, 245. That'd be, oh, too bad you're leaving.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you're going to be missing on the great job opportunities now. And you won't get to help us give liquor to the homeless.
I'm such a fabulous tap dancer.
Well, maybe you can start a Bend chapter of, you know, the Bend Tappers or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
What's it going to be today? It's going to be sunny, which it is. Highs in the mid-40s, clear tonight, lows in the 30s, sunny again tomorrow, and sunny for Thanksgiving Day. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers over the $200 laptop.
I'm telling you, man, that's screaming out for some sort of satirical news article. The whole cloning or clowning controversy, giving birth to clowns. There's something, I don't know what it is. I'm not smart or funny enough to do it. I'm not a learned enough man. But there's some humor there. If somebody wants to grab it, run with it. It's yours. Take it. The money's laying out there. You pick it up, it's yours.
I didn't even mean it.
No,
it could be a really demented porn movie, Attack of the Clowns.
Oh, man. Can I tell you, I had a porn movie one time. There was a clown in it, and it came out of nowhere, so to speak. I was like, I don't know.
It's
going to
be a little
it.
Bit freaky.
No, I don't. Because it involves this gay man. It's like a story that is really just untoward. Okay. When I was living in Spokane, my girlfriend at the time, and yes, it was the girl with the white stretch. Every time I mention a past girlfriend, Christina and Sarah Papa, was that the girl who wore the white stretch pants? Yes, it was.
Okay.
The girl who wore the white stretch pants.
I just need to make
with
it
stirrups.
Clear in my mind.
Well, she wore the white stretch pants with stirrups. Listened to Sammy Hagar all the time. Had that big had that hair that was
the
all
bangs.
Hairspray where the bangs are like a big surf wave. You know, they're like the big wave at Hawthorne.
She sounds like a winner.
Whoa. Listen to that. What was that about?
White stretch pants, Spokane.
I'd like to see pictures of your ass when you were like 17, 18. Did you,
okay.
You
that
probably
was only like
were wearing
four or five
something.
4 or 5 years ago, so.
Oh, yeah, okay. The hell was I talking about? Oh, anyway, so I'm dating this girl. Her best friend was this gay guy named Scott. Funny story, they'd gone to prom together, and she'd always wondered for years, like, why he never put the moves on her. Gay is a parade. Much like Tom Selleck is rumored to be. But anyway, so they went to prom together, blah, 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 stayed friends, he's gay. And so he was just ordering porn all the time. Like, he was just buying porn from this, that company, the Adam and Eve company. So he would buy all this porn through the mail, and this is kind of before the internet when you could just get porn, you know, just like in the privacy of your own home. So he would buy porn, and the deal with the Adam and Eve porn company is, you would buy two or three porn films, and it's like they would send you, like, a sampler free. You know, like those, like, you know, I thought it was little, like, Whitman samplers for chocolates. It's like a Whitman sampler of porn. And so he would buy two or three gay, and of course he's a gay man, right? So he's buying gay male porn. It's just it's the way it is. But of course they don't, like, it never occurred to them that, like, he's buying all this gay porn. So he would buy two or three gay porn videos, and they would include, like, here's your free sampler that you get. But of course the sampler, because most of their customers are straight men, the sampler would be all this straight porn. So he would get his package in the mail, there'd be his gay porn, and then there'd be like a sampler, which he did not want, because of course being gay, he didn't want the straight porn sampler. So he would send the straight porn sampler over to us. And the straight porn sampler was basically, it was like a 15-minute collage of like greatest hits or something. It was the best of whatever. And so it was like a 15-minute sort of montage of scenes from various porn films. And the scenes were edited really badly. And the scene, it would just jump from one scene to another randomly, like with no warning. It would just, you're watching one scene, whoa, you know, next, different guy, different girl. And so we're sitting on the couch and we're like, well, let's watch this porn thing. We've got to put it in and watching the porn, and it's all bump, 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 and the porn is going on and we're all watching it and it's, you know, it's decent quality porn, I guess. And then, out of nowhere, clown. Clown in a bathtub having sex with a woman. And it's like you, but you didn't know it was a clown right away because you only see his legs. Like, you can only see his ankles and legs, and you see, you know, the, you know, you see her. But then the camera pans over to the left, and it's like, who's she on top of? Oh, my God, it's a clown. Just right out of nowhere. And that'll scar you, man. Because then you start to wonder if you're developing some... If you're developing some Pavlovian response, like if you're conditioning yourself to feel sexual arousal at the sight of a clown, you know what I mean? And it's like, who would ever worry about these things? The answer, me. Only me. Just me. Anyway. What's that talking about? Well, no one knows. All right, Rodney, you're in Cedar Hills. What's up with you?
Hey, I watched a movie a couple of months ago. It was a sick movie. I think it's called Vulgar.
That's a View Askew film. It's from Kevin Smith's company.
Yeah, that was one sick ass movie.
No, I haven't seen it, but there's a clown in it. I understand.
Save yourself the time. It's a waste of time.
Okay, so I won't see it.
No, it's one sick movie.
Yeah, but it's got a clown.
Yeah, but.
Is it a bad clown? Is it a clown that's wrong?
It's a bizarre, and it has to deal with gay guys jumping a clown.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. I've pretty much been dissuaded. Thank you. It's 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Kristen from accounting. How are you?
Well, hi there.
Hey, well, you were sending me some snippy emails today.
No, I didn't send you any emails today. Our email's been messed up.
So. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
So maybe I did something a week or two ago. And
maybe
you sent
it was
me some...
the other Kristen from accounting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got?
Well, you know, I was just, you know, you were just mentioning the whole chick with the white skirt pants.
Yes. As she is now forever.
Really bad 80s memories.
As she is forever now known.
Yeah. Well, I should bring in my high school yearbook. You'll
White stretch pants with stirrups, and a lot of those baggy sweatshirts that said bum equipment.
Yeah. Or no, you know what it was?
Yeah,
it was
baby.
The stretch pants with the big white or like the multicolored socks.
Oh no, she was with that.
With the high top.
She was totally with that too. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's. I think you should go to school with her or something.
Not that I ever did that.
No, of course not.
Come on, that's my era.
Were you wearing a lot of Bugle Boy jeans back
then?
No.
No, I am proud to say.
Yeah, and see, I was one of the poor kids. I never had any of those designer jeans.
I never wore Bugle Boys. I never wore, because you know, remember for a while they had that ill-advised line of Guess jeans for men.
Yes.
Never wore those. I never wore anything that said Varney. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm a Levi's guy. I actually have a pair of Gap jeans at this point now, but I'm pretty much a Levi's guy because I'm a creature of habit. And
that's what we love about you.
They never go out of style.
Well, you know what I was going to say though is I did go to my high school prom with a gay man.
See, is it that your gaydar doesn't function, or do you subconsciously
want? No, I knew he was gay.
Well, what the hell? What kind of woman are you? What the hell is that about?
Well, we've often discussed that I'm not really like other chicks.
Yeah, but this is...
I wasn't going to go to my high school prom. My senior prom, I mean.
Okay.
So, the guy I worked with...
I can't go with a gay man, I'm not going.
Well, I worked with him at the roller skating rink, actually.
Oh, God.
And he said, you have to go to your high school prom. And I said, I really don't want to go. And he's like, come on, I'll go with you, it'll be fun. So I went with this friend of mine who was gay.
Was it super?
We had a great time.
We had a fabulous time. We had a splendid time. Yeah. Oh, okay. All
yeah.
right. Okay. Well, at least you knew, so you weren't sitting there thinking you were hideously undesirable because you're wondering why he didn't try to cop a feel.
Now, honey, I lived in West Hollywood for 9 years. I know a gay man when I see him.
Well, she should have known, too. One look at this guy in Spokane, you know he's got the hair that's perfectly coiffed and it's kind of spiky on the side. You know what I mean?
Any guy whose hair looks better than you is gay.
No, and his shoes were always shined. His shoes were always gleaming. His black leather shoes always gleaming, and they always matched his belt. Gay.
Exactly.
Totally gay.
Well, and if his underwear matches his socks, too.
How could your underwear not match your... Well, I guess if you had boxers that were colored.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, excellent. All right, there you go.
There's
Kristen in accounting. I really don't know what we were supposed to be talking about, but pornography featuring clowns and gay men at your prom, I still had the mullet, actually, in my prom photos. I still had the mullet. It's sad. It's completely sad. All right. 1-800-7-7, but I had Chuck Taylors on. Sorry, a little points for style there to distract from the hair. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Oh, but you know what else I had, though? Not only the boutonniere or whatever I had and the corsage, they do this where you came from. They would take the rose and they would spray them with, like, glitter spray so the rose would be all, like, glittery. Jesus, it's retarded. We'll be back. It's on Talk to 80K to K, you know. Tricky, 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 tricky
Talk 1080 KOTK.
It was a tasteful purple tux. Yeah, there's a lot of those.
It was a really dark, dark purple to the point where if you saw it from a distance, yeah. It almost looked black.
Okay, Garcia.
But when he got up on it, it was this like dark purple with black lapels.
You
cool
wore this to your prom? Whatever.
I really did.
Yeah, all right, whatever you say.
You wore Chuck Taylor to your prom?
Went to the prom, wore the fly blue rental. All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
Actually, things still...
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or at toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
This is the only good use for Offspring songs, by the way. This is bumper music. They don't actually work as real songs or albums, but they're fine for this purpose. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Rick, Helen Highwater is actually a great drag queen name.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Lou. All right. And now I'm getting all these emails, and the subject line is clown or something, and I don't even want to open them. I'm afraid I just don't even want to look at them. Just want to delete them.
Just sight unseen.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, and 1-800-727-5955. Coming up in a short while here, we got the top five Ozzy Osbourne songs of all time. Later on, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk and News at Ground Zero with your friend and mine, Clyde Lewis. Let's get Anita in the Couve. What's up with you?
Hi.
What do you got, sister?
Not much. I have a dilemma, though. I thought maybe you could help me with it.
Is it about clowns or proms?
Porno.
Okay.
So,
well, lay it on me.
That's a better topic.
I was going to say, I don't know a whole lot in this world, but I know porn.
Well, here's the thing. We've talked in the past, and I'm no prude. I'm all for porno. I have no problem with it.
Okay.
But I was doing my laundry, and I have a son who's 16 and a half.
Uh-huh.
And he knows I go into his room to put the laundry in his room. That's a given. I found a box of videotapes in his bedroom, just sitting on the floor, right in the middle of the floor.
Okay, so this wasn't like, because there's mom...
No digging, no...
Because
no.
Sometimes it's like, I found these while I was putting your socks away, and it's something he's had like padlocked in like a steel vault.
No, we're very open in this house as far
apparently.
As communication.
So he's 16 and a half, and you found a box of these videotapes?
Yes, they're like, okay, here's some of the titles.
Don't you have
the
internet?
I was so happy that it wasn't gay porn, though, so that's one plus.
Okay.
Okay, like Ecstasy Girls.
Is that is that like Ecstasy?
I'm actually laughing because I figured that's what it would say, but it's actually spelled right.
Ecstasy Girls?
Yeah, Groupies Galore.
Sweet.
The Velvet Edge, which, by the way, is labeled as a classic.
A classic. Well, they're all classic for a few minutes.
No Strings Attached.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Maybe you recognize some of these. I'm sorry. Oh, I can't say that word.
Well, it's all very iffy. I bleeped it.
Okay.
But anyway,
I apologize.
That's okay.
But here's the dilemma. I have one of three options.
The dilemma is I take VHS dubs. Betamax don't work at my house.
Well,
so
that's one of the options. Do I keep it for myself? Do I tell him that I found them and, you know, ask, first of all, where did he get the money to buy these? These are not cheap.
He's probably dealing crack.
The other option is to, like, take them out of the box and leave the box just sitting on his bed.
The right answer here is just put them back in the box, put them back in his room, and act like you never found them.
No, because I got to tell you, being a teenage boy is so mortifying and horrible every single day that if he knows that you know, he's going to have to shoot himself.
But you got to know, we are so open about this stuff.
It doesn't
matter. I mean, we
don't
watch it together on Saturday night.
It doesn't matter. I'm not, and I have to say this as a man, it doesn't matter whether you, and I have no reason to doubt you. I mean, you called the show, but you go way back. You're an old school listener. I understand that some families are very open about sex and about the human condition and all that, but it doesn't matter because when you're a teenager, especially a teenage boy, anything your parents do is mortifying. It doesn't matter if it's right. It doesn't matter if it comes from a place of love. Anything your parents do is mortifying. And the notion of your parents having any inkling or knowledge of your sex life is like seriously, he's going to be, he won't be able to look you in the eye for months.
Really?
Why
did he leave them right in the middle of his bedroom floor?
Because boys are dumb. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he's lucky he's cute, I guess.
Boys are kind of dumb. Put them down. As much as I would like to have them, and as much as I like the idea of you watching them,
right.
Put him in the box, make it look like you didn't touch it, never mention it, never bring it up.
Tell you what, at least I'll know where they're at, and, you know, when my husband goes out of town, I'll have something to fill the time.
That's what I like to hear.
Bye-bye.
Right, there you go. That's Anita. Yeah, don't ever... It's like my mom, and we get to the top five here in a second, I can tell you, that we were just talking about some, you know, about prom stuff, and it's like, my mom has to know. Your mom has to know at some point that you're getting it on. It's like they have to. Especially if you're like me, where like you're a teenage boy and it's not like you want to get caught. It's just that like your sex drive is so high you just don't care. You know what I mean? It's not like you're looking to get caught by your parents, but you know, it's like, okay, well, there's some sex, but you have to set yourself on fire first, and you have to jump off this cliff onto sharp rocks below, and you're like, all right, you know, and you'll do it, because it's like, that's where the sex is. So you don't want to get caught, but it's like when you're a teenage boy, you just take it where you can get it, you know what I mean? And if where you can get it is down the hall from her parents' room, or if where you can get it is in your bedroom after you think your parents are asleep, that's what you're going to do. And looking back on my adolescence, I took so many chances of getting caught. You know, just because your girlfriend, you know, when you're a teenager, you look for any moment to be alone, like any privacy you can get. Because you can't, it's 15, you can't get a motel room. You can't, despite Meatloaf songs to the contrary, you can't go do it in the car because you're going to get busted and then you're going to get in trouble. It's got to be at somebody's house, usually. And usually then, unless you've got some weird family, the parents are around at some point. And so the law of averages says you're going to be risking it. Your parents are down the hall. And so, my parents have to know. My mom has to have known that I was doing something or other. And it's like, and you know the thing is, I don't want to know. If she knew, I don't want to know. I'd prefer not, I'm never going to admit it, and she's never going to tell me. A lot of kids get to that age. We're like, hey, Mom, you remember that one night that I said I was working late at the pizza place? I was really off, you know, doing whatever. I was really off rolling around in a briar patch with Jenny from biology class. Like, some guys do that with their parents. They level up. They're like, hey, you know, remember that one time I told you I was sick? I was really stoned. And I'm not one of those guys. I'm not confessing a damn thing. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm on my deathbed. But my mom can be, and I can be on our deathbeds together at the same time. I'm never going to confess anything. And I don't want to know if she was aware of my sex life, because it's just, as Paul Reiser says, there's just not enough therapy in the world for that. You know what I mean? It's like when you're in there, you know, the water running in the bathroom for like half an hour. You know, what are you doing? I'm perusing a particularly interesting Reader's Digest article. You know, and clearly no one buys that. You're sitting there watching TV with your dad, and they're showing like a, you know, the wakeboarding competition, and there's some chick falling out of her bikini. You're like, I have to go clean my room. You know, it's like, why are you going through so many socks? You know, and it's like they have to know, but I don't want to know. This is making me feel oogie. Let's do the top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
At least it's not gay porn. Thank God it's not like, you know, Black Beauty Rides Again or something. That's just going to be... Anyway, here's Tim Riley with your top five.
And in honor of their triumphant return to television at 10 o'clock tonight, the Rick Emerson Show celebrates the Osbournes by counting down the top five Ozzy Osbourne songs of all time.
And it should be noted, these are not Black Sabbath songs. These are Ozzy Osbourne solo joints, as the kids say. All right, so let's proceed.
Honorable mentions go to Goodbye to Romance and Breaking the Rules.
Breaking the Rules from a much underrated Ozzy Osbourne album called No Rest for the Wicked. This is a great song, and it's just got that sound like a runaway freight train, like a lot of the best rock songs have, which is real propulsive. This is when Ozzy was hooking up with Zakk Wylde. The collaboration endured for 4 or 5 albums. I can see just another stranger. You know, the thing is, Ozzy's not a conventionally good singer, but, you know, the thing about him is there's no one who sounds like him. There's no one, except that guy from Helmet, Paige Hamilton or whatever. He sounded like Ozzy. And there's that guy from the Voodoo Glow Skulls. He sounds like Ozzy, too. But really, he is unique. I mean, he does have a delivery and a persona that just nobody can match. He's this weird prophet, preacher, doom, devil-worshipping weird guy. I mean, he's just... Ozzy has got this persona that you could not create from the ground up. It really is rather complex and layered. Great song. I used to rattle the windows with this. I mean, literally, until, like, I thought the roof was going to cave in.
Oh, number five, Rock and Roll Rebel.
I think this is in the Jake E. Lee period. His vocals all sound double tracked, but I don't think they are. I think he's just got a weird voice. You know, he's been mentioned by... He's had dinner at the White House. I mean, he's had all these ballads that were hits. He's been on MTV. I just saw a great Ozzy song. It's called Lightning Strikes on VH1 the other day, but he's got the big 80s hair, and he's wearing, like, a glittery sequin bathrobe. But he still kept all his street cred. It's funny that Ozzy never lost his street cred. Oh, come on. Listen to that. Can't deny that. Sounds like some weird evangelist from hell.
Number four, Shot in the Dark.
This is off the Ultimate Sin album. This has got a great video, by the way, which was number one on Dial MTV for like 7 months or some crap when I was growing up. See, there's this subtle, understated use of keyboards there in the background. This has got that video where the chick has the weird glowing eyes. Alright. You know, the sad thing about Jake E. Lee, who I think is the guitarist on this album's The Ultimate Sin, Jake E. Lee came to Spokane to play a place called Gatsby's, which is this, like, crappy dive bar. Years after he'd either quit or been kicked out of Ozzy's band. And it's like all the commercials are going to get
the man who played guitar for Ozzy Osbourne for one album.
You know, and it's like, what do you do when you're Jake E. Lee? When your whole career is that you were like a side man for somebody. What do you do? It's like being Pete Best. What's Pete Best going to play when he comes in concert? You know what I mean? It's just great music, is what that is. That's just great rock and roll.
Number three, you can't kill rock and roll.
This is my favorite Ozzy Osbourne song of all time, by the way. It's not his greatest, but this is my favorite Ozzy Osbourne song ever. It's got one of the all-time great Ozzy choruses right here. It's a great manifesto line here. Listen to this song over and over again all day. Great stuff.
Number two, Suicide Solution.
An unfairly maligned song, by the way. I'm looking in your direction, Pam Robertson. A song which, of course, is not about suicide. A song which is not about killing yourself. A song which is not about you and your loser friends putting on this record and taking a gun to your head. I'll give $5 to anybody in this room who can tell me what the song is about. It's not about heroin. No, the song is about Bon Scott from AC/DC, who drank himself to death. That's why I said, wine is fine, but whiskey's quicker.
suicide is slow with liquor. Songs about Bon Scott, it's not about suicide, but this is the song, for good or bad, that made Ozzy infamous because they always tried to pin a bunch of teenage suicides on him because of this song. Which is incredibly unfair because the song is not about suicide. Never was. Great song, though. Great guitar lick. Great little Randy Rhoads slide there at the beginning. Great stuff.
Number one, Crazy Train.
Still a great song, and still one of the all-time great guitar riffs coming up here. Legendary riff. I mean, listen, that's still great, and this song is like, Jesus, what is this, like 22 years old, something like that? It's come out 80, 81, something like that? Just a great song, and this is not only a great rock song, but it's got a great pop song. It's got a great melody to it. It's got a great chord progression. It's got a great, you know, it's got a great chorus. And the reason that this is the definitive Ozzy song is not only is it his best known song, but this is the song that resurrected his career, because when he was kicked out of Black Sabbath, everybody thought he'd be dead inside a year. They figured they'd find him face down in a gutter somewhere, dead, on drugs or drink or whatever. And Sharon Osbourne, of course, as has been well documented, lifted him back up, put him back on his feet, put him back on top. And this was the song who did it, because nobody thought he could come back. Everybody thought Ozzy was doomed. They thought he was washed up. They didn't think he could ever be successful again. And he was not only successful, but he has, you know, far outshone Black Sabbath. See, I don't know if that's double tracking or what it is in those vocals, but that's a great sound. To sit in my Ford Maverick with like a black trench coat on, just playing at the top volume, just going, it is I am going off the rails of my own personal crazy train. Yes, I have listened to preachers, I have listened to fools, for I am Rick. I was such a dumb, angst-ridden little Holden Caulfield bastard. More on the way, including How Chicks Think with Jolie from the Front Desk and News of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's what I'm talking about. Let me tell you.
Make you feel good.
Oh, and when you're a teenager who's just hiding porn and being pissed off and wearing black t-shirts all the time, and there is nothing better. You know, I love the smell of Ozzy in the morning. There's nothing better when you get up and you're pinned, I don't want to go to school. You're all angry and just pissed off for no reason. You put on an Ozzy record, man. So nothing better when you were, like 15. Yeah, you're being sarcastic through the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-737-5955. It's time for another edition of Rick Emerson's How Chicks Think, featuring Jolie from the Front Desk. How are you today?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. We got this from, by the way, if you have a question for the How Chicks Think desk, you can get those to rick@rickemerson.com. Just put in the subject line, How Chicks Think, rick@rickemerson.com, and we'll get an answer from Jolie. Okay, this comes to us from Tony. Rick, for years I've tried to understand what goes on in the minds of women, and for years I've failed. I've tried every method I can think of, even the embarrassing ones. I've actually purchased and read Cosmopolitan, for God's sake, and nothing's helped me. In desperation, I want to ask some of my female friends, in your words, how chicks think, but here's the problem. Being a guy, I desperately want to sleep with some of these women who consider me a friend. And as long as that chance exists, I can't be totally honest in the questions I ask them. I don't want them to be horrified by the way I think and then write me off as a potential sex partner. My question is this. Ladies, when a man is your, quote, friend, is there any chance you will ever sleep with him? Do you ever cross that line when you're lonely, desperate, depressed, or drunk? Once a man is in the friend category, is he forever out of luck in the sex category? Any help would be appreciated. Tony.
Tony, absolutely not. You are not out of luck.
So there's always a chance, which is exactly what I would say, too.
Always, yeah.
That would totally be my take.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, women need to have friends, you know. They want somebody that's going to be there for them when they're down and out, like you're saying.
The emotional tampon.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, that's what Sam used to call it. It's true.
God.
It's like when the other guy dumps you, you come to the friend guy and... Let me tell you about this other guy that dumped me. That's totally what it is. You're the emotional maxi pad.
Yeah, you have to. I don't like the way you refer to that.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Like when she's in the breakup, when she's having problems with her other boyfriend, you just have to be patient, wait for the right time, and then you can go in for the kill.
But that's when you pounce, though. That's the moment, if you're a guy, when you can pounce. When the other guy is doing her wrong,
mm-hmm.
you can swoop in, baby, and pick up those, let me pick up the broken pieces of your heart.
Yeah, it's all about the timing. But then again, there's the other side of it, you know. The typical woman, she wants to be friends, you know, with guys first and stuff, and she wants to build a strong foundation to
strip on.
Yeah, whatever.
To have sex on top of.
Right.
Foundation.
Because, you know, when you're 80 years old, sitting in your Lazy Boys and you can't have sex anymore, the woman's going to want to talk about something,
yeah,
you know, substance.
My sack hurts. What are you going to want to hear when you're 80, you know? My corns are uncomfortable.
You probably won't be able to hear, really, but, you know.
You'll just grunt. Yeah, woman. Whatever. All right, so if a guy has a female friend and then he wants to have sex with, see, you tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. My advice is, because guys will tell me this, there's a woman, because if you're a woman, you have a guy friend, you just say, hey, boink me. But if you're a guy and there's a woman who considers you a friend, I have this theory that if you really want to sleep with someone, it's a law of averages. If you just are around them long enough, eventually you'll get your shot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just around, it's just time.
Exactly.
If you are around a woman long enough, the odds, the clouds will just line, the planets will line up one day and you'll have your shot. It's just, but you've got to be there all the time.
Yeah, it's all about the patience and the timing.
So if you have a girl who considers you a friend and you're with her for 6 months, a year, year and a half, eventually the night's going to roll around. But you've got to move on it then. But you've got to move on it when the chance is there. But the chance will present itself.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, you're friends with the woman you know, really good friends, you got a good base going, and then all of a sudden she realizes what's in front of her face and she'll want you.
Or she comes home because the guy's dumped her, she's a little drunk, she's a little depressed, and there you go, baby. Pick it up.
Always works,
candy,
right?
From a baby. There you go. There's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Excellent. Thank you. All right. I knew I was right about that. All right. We got more on the way, including news at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Later on, Tom Likas, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't go anywhere. Talk to Nettie Cave today.
Talk 10.